Good morning, good morning. My name is Lance. If this is your first time, welcome, welcome to Bethel. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 today. Matthew 16, then we're going to flip over to Acts chapter 2. As you can see, we're in a series simply entitled Count Me In. And what we've been talking about for the past month is really re-engaging in the life and the mission of our church. And this morning, what I've been praying for and asking the Holy Spirit to do for us as we come to the Word today is that what you're about to hear, that as you listen to what God's Word has to say about His church, that it's like hearing it for the very first time. That the Holy Spirit, this is my hope for us today, that the Holy Spirit would stir new passion or a new fire on the inside of us, specifically when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to His church, that He would light new fire, be like a new wind that would blow in our life today. You know, if you're watching online, thank you so much for watching, but we want you to know that we want you back here in our building. Because we all know, don't we, there's something special that happens when you and I gather together as the local church. Thank God for online, but there's something very special, very important when we come together as a body of believers. Each of us are going to get an opportunity as we close today, this message and this service out. We're going to get the opportunity to get involved in the life of our church. Maybe that's through serving, or maybe that's by attending one of our community groups. But really, the message today is not going to specifically focus. We're not going to specifically talk about serving or talking about being a part of a community group. Really, what I want to do for us today is allow this word, or really allow Jesus, to paint a bigger picture for us of what you and I are a part of. It's so easy for us to lose this big picture because we do the same thing every single Sunday. We come to church. We probably more than likely sit in the same spot. I can know who's here and who's not here because all of you sit in the same spot every single Sunday. So we can get caught up in this routine, coming to church, leaving, going out to eat, going home, coming back to church the next Sunday. And we lose the bigger picture because you and I are part of something much more than just coming to a building. There is a bigger picture that Jesus wants to paint for us today. The Holy Spirit's going to help you and I to grasp this picture so we can begin to think in line with this picture so that we can actually move with our lives when it comes to this picture that He's painting. Let's read the scriptures here that we're going to read today. Matthew 16. We're going to start in verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesar Philippi, He asked His disciples," here's a great question, we're going to ask this question later on, "who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock," now He's not talking about the rock of Peter. There are some traditions and that get, or churches that get caught up on that. He's talking about the rock of revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. "And upon," I tell you, "you are Peter, and on this rock," the revelation of Jesus Lord, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's good news. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then He strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that He was the Christ. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 36. "Let all the house of Israel," this is Peter preaching the first evangelistic message. He says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the rock that Jesus is talking about. He's going to build His church. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'What shall we do?' Peter said, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. Father, help us today. Help us to hear clearly, Holy Spirit, what you want to say to us. Let this charge from this word move us in the right direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's start by asking a question today. When I say the word church, what is the very first thing that comes to your mind? When you hear the word church, what begins to pop up? Some people would say it's a building that I attend once a week. Others would say it's a place I go to get refreshed. Some would say it's a place I go to make myself feel better. Some would say it's a place I go to worship God. Some might say it's a place that I go where I might hopefully hear something that's going to encourage me, that's going to lead me to become a better person, a better husband, better dad, better wife, better mom. Many times this is how we define church in our day. But if we were to ask the original disciples what the definition of the church is, it would be much different than the definition that you and I give today. In those days, they did not have church buildings. They didn't have church staff. They didn't have children's ministry, greeters, ushers. They definitely didn't have cafe workers. They didn't have nice seats to sit in. Church for them, it was a gathering of people around an event in history that changed their world and that changed the course of the entire world. And that event was not a building was built, and it's why they came together. That event was not, they like children's ministry better in that building, better than the other building, and that's why they came together. The event wasn't they served good coffee, and that's why they came together. The event that brought these people together, friends, was the resurrection of Jesus. It was the resurrection. The resurrection is what galvanized these believers and launched what the Bible calls the local church. In this new institution, our gathering of people called the body of Christ or the church began, hear me, as a movement to change the world. One important thing we need to understand about the church, it's more than just a building. It's more than just a location. The local church is a movement. And you know what movements are supposed to do? Movements are supposed to move. This is why you and I are here today. We are centered around a historic event called the resurrection. And we are called to be witnesses of what we believe. The goal for us today is that you and I would rethink what church is all about. And also, we would answer a question. This is a great question. How involved will I be? If this church is a movement, then we need to rethink what church is all about. And then answer a question. If the church is on the move, then how involved will I be? According to Matthew 16 and Acts 2, we see that the church is supposed to be moving forward because Jesus is head of the church. Because he's alive, guess what? The church is alive. You and I are part of something that is living, something that is active, something that is moving forward. Even as we've gone throughout this pandemic, can I tell you, the church has still advanced forward. Even though our government and our nation is continuing to pass laws that contradict God's word, his standard of holiness. Can I tell you, the church is still moving forward. The reason why, because the kind of God we serve an advancing, moving, living God. We may stop because of things happen, because of things may happen in our life. This pandemic may have stopped some things in our life. We may have had to push pause on some things, but not Jesus. Because he's God, guess what? He never stops. He never slows down. Jesus is always on the move. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, It means assembly. It means gathering. It means congregating. And you really see this throughout the entire New Testament. When Jesus launched the church, he launched a gathering. And this gathering had a mission. This gathering had a focus. This is how you and I have to think. Movemental thinking is driven by passion. Movemental thinking, friends, is not driven by obligation. We don't show up at church because we think God's going to be mad at us if we don't show up. We attend church or we attend this movement because we desire to be here. I don't know about you, but I was passionate about waking up. You can probably tell by the way I'm talking. Passionate about waking up. Coming to the house of God. Even though I've been here a million times, I was just as excited today to be here than I was the very first time I ever showed up. Because I desire to be here. I'm passionate about Jesus. And when you're passionate about Jesus, hear me, you're also passionate about his bride. I can't say I love Jesus, but hate or dislike the church. Jesus loves his church because you and I are the church. And if I'm going to be passionate about the church, I'm sorry, about Jesus, I got to be passionate about his bride, the church as well. Movemental thinking is driven by passion rather than obligation. It's also driven by a personal call. Me being here today, or you being here, it's not just because it's a good idea. I am called to walk with you. You are my spiritual family. And because you're my spiritual family, I am called to carry your burdens. Did you know that? Because we're family, we're called to carry one another's burdens. Even if you're burdened, I might not understand. Because I'm your family, I've got to do my best to understand so I can carry that burden with you, whatever that may be. We're called as a family. I'm called to carry your pain. I'm called to carry your suffering. See, we're in this together. We have a destiny, friends. Hear me. We have a destiny. Yes, I believe there is an individual destiny that everybody has in their life. But yet there is a corporate destiny that you and I have as a spiritual family. Every individual destiny is found within the corporate destiny of a local church. I believe that with all of my heart. That's why I'm here. That's why you're here. Because you cannot reach your destiny without me. And I can't reach mine without you. We need one another. We need one another. This is what being part of a movement is all about. But we have a problem. When you look at church history, somehow the church went from being a movement to being about a location. It went from having a mission to just sitting in seats. It went from every follower of Jesus, that's you, every follower, proclaiming the resurrection to assigning one person, and this is the great tragedy of the church, to just assigning one person, you call them pastor, to do all the ministry work. Friend, that is a problem. And it still impacts the church today. We believe here at Bethel that every member is a minister. That every person can preach the gospel. That every person can communicate their story of how Jesus has changed their life. This is how we change a city. This is how we change the nations of the earth. Not just assigning one person to do all the ministry work. It will not and never will, because that is not the plan that Jesus set forth. We are all disciples. See, the church went through this terrible and embarrassing time where everything was wrong with the church. This transition caused their theology to get messed up. Because what happened as you study this is whoever controlled the building controlled the people. And whoever controlled the people controlled what was being spoken from the pulpit. And whoever controlled what was being spoken, guess what they controlled? They controlled the money. And the focus got off of God, off of God's mission, to spiritual leaders manipulating the word of God to control people and use their position to gain power and wealth. And what started off as a movement became inward focus and had no reflection at all what you read about with the New Testament church, how it got started. And here's the sad truth. Some of the same ideas are still affecting the church today. In the 1500s, God began to raise up a man. His name was William Tyndale. William Tyndale was a British author. And what he decided it was time for the average believer to have access to the Word of God. At that time, the Bible was only written in Hebrew. So English-speaking people could not understand what they were reading. And what this man did is he translated the Hebrew text into English. He printed them, and then he smuggled them into England. Now, English people began to hold the living Word of God. And because they could read it, they could begin to understand it. They could begin to stand on His promises. Now, certain people did not like this, especially King Henry. But William Tyndale was a bold man. William Tyndale stood on the Word of God. And he was not afraid to stand up to King Henry. He stood up to him and he basically told him that divorcing his wife was unbiblical. See, because of his convictions, he eventually was tied to the stake, strangled, and burned. He died, but guess what? His work had gotten out. And because the Bible was released, the Word of God, that this living Word got out, spiritual leaders, these really unspiritual leaders, begin to lose their power because the Word of heaven was being read and believed. It really was this man, friends, I'm telling you, that resurrected this idea that the church is a movement around an historic event called the resurrection. Now, Jesus is a great leader. He knows it's so easy for us to get off track. He knows how easy it is for us to begin to see church as something that really does not line up with this word. He even here in Matthew chapter 16, he had to refocus the disciples who walked with him on a daily basis. And this is what he was doing here again in Matthew 16. Jesus asked him, he said, "Who do people say that I am?" They said, "Well, some people, Jesus, they saying you're John the Baptist. Some saying you're Jeremiah. Some saying you're Elijah." But I love Jesus because Jesus looks at them just as he looks at us and he challenges them personally. "But who do you say that I am?" Peter, being the bold one of the group, said, he stepped up and said, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied again, "Upon this rock," again, some denominations get this messed up. It's not Peter that Jesus is saying he's building his church on. Jesus does not build his church on human beings because humans will fail. Hear me. Human beings will fail. He says, "Upon this rock, the rock of revelation, that I am Lord, I will build my church." And he said, "The gates of hell," "the gates of hell, death itself will not overcome it." This is why the church will never stop. Because it's not a human being that is in charge. It's Jesus, God Himself. Jesus is in charge. Jesus is the leader of the church. Jesus is the leader of the church you attend today, Bethel. He is why we are here today. He's the builder. I'm not the builder and you're not the builder. Jesus Christ is the one who builds His church. Now, that encourages me. It should encourage you. No matter how many good or bad decisions people may make, we can take confidence that we are a part of something that's going to last forever because Jesus Christ is the one leading it. This should give us great hope, great encouragement. What we are a part of today, the universal body of Christ or the church, will never fail. Leaders may fail, they'll come and go, but Jesus and His church will never fail because He is leading it. Let's say amen to that. Now, because we are the church, because we are a gathering of people around a mission, guess what? That means we got something to do. You and I have something to do. We're a part of a movement. We're supposed to move. Acts 2 clearly communicates to us what we are to do. the disciples were just like us. They were stirred by Jesus. And they wanted to know from him, Jesus, what do you want us to do? When you're stirred by Jesus, that's a great question to ask. What do you want us to do? They had one another. But in Acts, we see now their leader is gone. So what did they do? They just kept doing the same thing they did with Jesus. They gathered together. They spent time together. But yet, even in their gathering, you see that there was some confusion going on. When Jesus resurrected and he showed up, they began to ask Jesus a bunch of questions. They said, Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? They were sure hoping so. They were hoping that Jesus was going to set up his own kingdom on earth because they wanted to rule just like Jesus was going. Man, I'm going to rule with Jesus. That's going to be a lot of blessings for me because, man, whatever Jesus gets, I get as well. They were confused. Are you going to at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They said, basically, Jesus, are you going to raise up an army? Are you going to take over? Are you going to come back and do all this for us? I love Jesus. Have you ever noticed that when you ask Jesus a question, he responds and you're like, Jesus, you didn't answer my question. Jesus' response to all these questions was, you will receive power. You're going to receive power. I'm thinking, that's not what I asked Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He doesn't answer their question, but he empowers them to continue to advance the movement that he had started. See, with this power, the Holy Spirit living in them, the same Holy Spirit who lives inside of you and I, Jesus said, you're going to be with that power. You are going to be my witnesses to the world. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying you're part of a living movement. And with this power, and because you're part of this movement, you're going to accurately represent what I have done and what I will do in all the earth. Imagine being there. Imagine hearing this. Imagine looking around and you're only 11 people. And Jesus is commissioning you with the power that is in you, the power that I'm giving you. I'm literally coming to live inside of you. You are going to take over the world. I mean, what would you be thinking? You're probably thinking the same thing. There's no way we can do this, Jesus. That's impossible. But Jesus knew that the power in them was going to mobilize them, was going to strengthen them, and could cause them to continue the movement that he had started. We as a church family are more than just a place to gather on Sunday morning. Friends, hear me. We are a movement. Bethel is a movement. We are on the move because our commander-in-chief is on the move. Why here at Bethel do we love the nations of the earth? Why do we love every ethnicity? Because you know why? Because Jesus loves the nations. Because Jesus loves every ethnicity. Why do we serve people? We serve people because Jesus serves people. Why do we make disciples and want to see you grow in your relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus makes disciples. Why do we gather together? Because Jesus told us how important it is that we come together as a church family. Friends, here's the thing. You and I, we are a fulfillment of this prophecy that Jesus spoke here in Matthew 16 and in Acts chapter 2. Right here in Clarksville. Right here in Fort Campbell. But we have a question to answer. If this is all true, if Jesus is on the move and that we are a part of a movement, the question then becomes, how involved will we be? How involved would we be? Are you a part of this movement? Again, hear me. I'm not asking, are you just showing up on Sunday morning? Which is a great first step. Continue to come. But it's more than just showing up on a Sunday morning. It's being a part of this living, breathing movement called the church. Are you involved? Are you engaged? Are you taking steps? Pastor Lance, what are you talking about? Have you attended Starting Point? It's a great first step after coming on a Sunday morning. Have you learned about our, have you been taught and learned about the vision and the values that we hold here as a church? We say it all the time. Don't continue to attend a church until you know the vision and the values of that church. Till you know what they believe about Jesus. Till you know how they see this word of God. That's what Starting Point does for us. The next one is coming up on April the 11th. My encouragement to you, if you've never been, please attend. I beg you, attend. What it does is it helps you become a part of this living movement. Are you giving to our church? Are you taking your hard-earned dollars and sowing them because you believe in this place? Because you believe in what we're doing and where we're going? I'm choosing to give my hard-earned money right here to this local church. Are you serving? Are you part of one of our community groups? Talking about the Holy Spirit, my encouragement to you, come to Encounter Night. I'm telling you, this Friday night, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Him lighting His fire and His passion on the inside of us. We need to be stirred like that, friends. We need the power. If we're going to fulfill the mission that Jesus has given us, friends, let me tell you, we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this by ourselves. We need His supernatural power. If you are going to be, let me just say it like this. If you're going to be a Christian and you're going to stand upon this word and not back down from everything that is happening, because our nation is moving to contradicting everything this word has to say. And if you as a believer are going to stand amongst all of that, you're going to need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're going to need it more than ever. Because you're going to need His boldness, because you're going to want to shy away. I don't want to make waves. I don't want to sound mean. Let me tell you something. We need to make some waves. We need to make waves. We don't need to be worried about being mean to someone. Just because we have a conviction doesn't mean I'm hating someone or being mean to someone. No, I have a conviction that there is a holy standard called the Word of God. And I fear God, and I'm going to abide by this. Amen? Maybe we'll do a message series on that. What was I talking about? I got lost. Being involved. Praise God. Coming to Encounter Night. That's right. Vince is going to come up here in a minute and give us an opportunity to take these steps. Simple steps. Because what they do is they get us involved in the life of this movement. Jesse, you can come on up. You know, when Peter stood up and he preached about this historic event, this resurrection that would change people, the people asked a question. You know what their question was? Their question was, what shall we do? See, they were cut to the heart. That cutting, friends, is called godly sorrow. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7. They were cut to the heart. They realized, I'm a sinful. I'm separated from God. Has that ever happened to you? For me, growing up, going to church, I was never cut. So therefore, I just kind of did religious things. If you came up to me and say, Lance, you a Christian? I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'm a Christian. I'm an American, I play baseball, man, I'm a Christian. I sing the national anthem, I must be one. But it wasn't until that cutting came. Have you ever been cut? Godly sorrow. Man, my sin is against a holy God. I'm not just offending my spouse. I'm not my friend, my parents. I'm offending a holy God. I was cut. That's what was happening here. What shall we do? Notice Peter's reply. Peter didn't say, go sit in a building. He didn't say that. He said, repent. That means turn from. That means I'm going this direction. I get hit in the face with the gospel. I am sinful. I am wicked. I am separated from God. Very simple. I know we don't use this word very much anymore. I repent. Lord, forgive me. I turn from my old life of sin. By faith, it's a 180-degree turn, this direction, not a 360. what a lot of people do. They get emotional about Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And they end up living the same old life, doing the same old thing. What authentic? I repent. I turn from sin by faith. It takes faith to Jesus. That's repentance. And I begin to follow Him based on, hear me, not what I think, but what His Word says. Okay? Not what I think. Well, Jesus, I've been in this unholy relationship for this long. Maybe it's all right. No, it's not. I had to go through that. All of us have to go through those. What? If I'm repenting, that means the things in my life that are sin has to be cut off. They have to stop. I don't do it in my own strength. I do it by trusting in Him. He said, repent. He said, be water baptized. If you've never been water baptized, again, sign up for it this Friday night. Baptism follows repentance. Okay? Repent, be water baptized, fill with the Holy Spirit. It's not just talking about when we get saved. He's talking about spiritual gifts being released in our life. Remember, we're witnesses. And to be a witness, God gives us gifts to empower us so that we can be effective in our ministry. Repent, be water baptized, filled with the Spirit. Here we go. And added to the local church. Again, not a location. Yeah, we come to one, but he's talking about being added to a movement. Be a part of this movement. How involved will we be? If we're movement, then everybody has to be on the move, not just one person. Another great tragedy of today, we got all these famous preachers out there and we think it's their responsibility to do all the ministry work. And we're still failing to reach our world because every believer is not mobilized. It's all of us on the move. Hear me, all of us. We're all in this together, amen? Pastor Vince, come on up. How involved will I be in this movement called Bethel? Father, help us. Today, Holy Spirit, remove religious thinking that we're all plagued by. Lord, I ask that you forgive me and every one of us. Lord, we get stuck in this routine of coming to church, going home, coming to church, going, and we forget what we're a part of. Today, I'm praying, Spirit of God, that you're stirring us to say, Lord, here I am. Just as the original ones responded and asked you, what shall we do? Lord, thank you that you're answering that question for us today by simply saying, take steps, become a part of this living movement that you call the church. Lord, help us, release us today like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God a big hand clap. Vince, come on up, champion.
One of my favorite things that Pastor Lance said is that your individual destiny is tied to the corporate destiny of your local church. That is so true. What God has for you, what He has for your life, it's not that it goes through the local church, it's just tied to the local church. It's connected to a group of people that God has called you to walk with and to live with. And here's the reality, if this is the local church that you've been called to walk with, what we do here is we do community. We serve people when they show up here on Sunday morning. That's what you've been called into. And for you to not live in connection with our community and with what we do as a church that serves, it's not just that you're missing out, we're missing out. We need you to be a part of community groups. We need you to serve because what you bring to the table isn't just about you, it's about this whole city. It's about other cities because people come here and they stay for a few years and then they get moved all over the world. Your involvement here is so much bigger than you. Even if you're watching online and maybe you've been apprehensive about getting involved in more things, we need you in community groups. We need you to serve in whatever capacity you're able to serve. And so I want to give you some opportunities this morning to do that. there's going to be a couple of graphics on the screen. You can, if you feel like, man, my step is I need to get involved in a community group, you can follow the directions on the screen. Text the word community to that number, because God wants to add you, not just to a Sunday morning service, but he wants you connected in relationships with people that are close-knit. He wants to call you to be able to have people that you can share your life with, that they can share their life with you. Maybe you think, well, I don't really need community. I do Christianity great by myself. That's fine, great, but other people don't. They need you. They need you. They need you involved in their life. That's why you've been called here. We also have many different areas where you can serve here. One of the things we're called to do as a church is to reach the next generation. If you're called to this church, in some way you're called to reach the next generation. I don't know if you're supposed to serve in Go Kids or serve with Rush, but maybe you're supposed to pray. Maybe you're supposed to stand at that front door and look for the youth that walk in so that you can greet them and say a prayer under your breath for them. There are things you're called to do here. To find a list of opportunities, you can text the word serve to the number on the screen. I want to pray. I know Pastor Lance prayed already, but I want to pray one more time specifically that the step you take, that you would see the way that God honors it. Because sometimes I know we can take a step and we can maybe just dip our toe in the water and feel like, well, I don't really feel like this is anything. I don't know if this is for me. But I want you to see the way God honors the steps you're taking. I want you to see how your presence and your connection impacts things that are so much bigger than you. Father, thank you. Thank you that out of 7 billion people on this earth, you've called us to be together. Lord, would we not discount how big that is? Help us to see the importance of our lives in connection with those around us. And I pray for everyone online and in the sanctuary that's taking a step this morning to be more involved and to get more connected to your movement right here at this church. I pray, God, that they would see the way you're using them and the way that you need them, the way that we need them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. If you need prayer, you want to process this message with someone, you can do so. Also, don't forget that Rush is meeting tonight at 5:30 p.m. If you have middle school or high school students, you want them there, drop them off at 5:30 and go home. It's going to be a glorious time for you and a glorious time for them. Also, if you've never had the opportunity to meet Pastor Lance, he will be in the Global Cafe immediately after service. He would love to welcome you here to Bethel. That's called First Step. Walk out our sanctuary doors and go to the right. He'll be in there. He'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can stand to your feet. Thank you so much for being here this morning, Bethel. You are dismissed. Yeah.